Hey, everybody. Don't fuck up in whatever the other thing is I say. How are you guys doing? It is me, John Hauser III, your host. I'm here to have another rude food story for you. This one's pretty gross. As you've seen, it's about a lamprey and pie and Michigan and Britain. And it's really weird. I just want to get, this is going to be kind of gross. If you just like slimy things, you're in for a treat, because this one's kind of weird. Again, these aren't going to be super long stories. I'm just going to kind of read through a story that I've put together from a couple other stories. This one actually is just from the one story, and I will cite that in a second. Yeah, lampreys, gross. When you look them up, they're jawless fish. Fucking, they got no bones in them apparently, which is fucking, they got like the beginnings of a backbone up close by their head, but not really at all. I've watched a bunch of lamprey dissection videos today, and they are disgusting. I watched a guy who had a TV show about like primordial animals or whatever, and he let it suck on him. It's like, yeah, it's fucking really gross. If you've seen the new Dune movies, they look very much kind of like the Shai Hulud, except they're in the water. They look like, people mistake them for eels all the time, but eels actually have a jaw and a mouth. These are jaw. They just have the sucker, and they're terrifying. You know, when you look at them, they just have this fucking just maw of, they look like teeth, like fangs, but those aren't actually the thing that gets you. They're kind of like grippers. They have a tongue that has like spikes on it, and then that's what drills a hole in fish or you if it gets a hold of you. These things are, I'm gonna have nightmares from these fucking things. Like they're gross and slimy, and of course the British eat them. Eel pie is a big thing over there, or was. It's not really anymore. It's kind of a, you know, like in ye old days this was thing, so people are like, it's tradition, so we do the thing that's tradition. You know, like there's a bunch of dumb shit in America here that people eat, and you know, and if you're wondering, yes, I would eat this thing, because fuck these things, they deserve to get eaten. You know, I've probably eaten worse things than an eel, who knows. Let's get into this story. It's a story I found on Gastro Obscura. It's a story by Diana Hubble. From a couple years ago. It was around the time of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. But let's get into it. It's really cute and fun and gross and weird, and it's kind of the perfect story for the Rude Cooking School. So here we go. In 2002, Martin Kirby, a journalist and resident of Gloucester, England, had a problem. Queen Elizabeth II's Golden Jubilee was coming up fast, and he wanted to provide a traditional lamprey pie for the occasion. After all, since the Queen's coronation in 1953, the city had supplied the new monarch with a truly epic pie, a 42-pound, 18-inch-high pastry masterpiece decorated with the royal crown of a coat of arms and a crown. 42 pounds of big fucking pie, dude. Full of just squiggly monster worms and whatever. They probably kidneys or something. Kidding. It's probably full of potatoes. Kidney is a founding member of the court leet of Barton St. Mary, a group of Gloucester history enthusiasts who have brought back centuries-old traditions like declaring a quote-unquote mock mayor. Quote, we had the idea of resurrecting the lamprey pie for the monarch, in honor of the Queen's Golden Jubilee, Kirby says. Gloucester's medieval custom of whipping up seafood-filled pies for the royals was revived for the 1953 coronation, and courtly of Barton St. Mary wanted to bring it back once more. The only catch? Sea lampreys. The once slithered plentiful through the River Severn, were on the brink of extinction in the United Kingdom. Quote, we can't use lamprey from this country because they're a protective species, explained Kirby. Quote, The city council of Gloucester didn't know where to get any lamprey, but I did, end quote. Because why wouldn't? He's a lamprey guy, right? Keeps up with his worldly lamprey breeding sections of the world. I don't know. It's fucking crazy. The sea lamprey, or Petromyzone marinus, looks something like it's dredged up from the depths of hell. Virtually unchanged over the last 360 million years of evolution, each of these three-foot-long, quote-unquote, living fossils resembles eels or fish, but happen to be neither. These parasites have a gaping suction cup ringed with row upon row of teeth for a maw. After attaching themselves to the sides of other cold-blooded swimmers, they use their serrated tongue to rasp away scales and leech away blood, slowly killing their prey. They're pretty fucking gnarly, man. Like, if you've never seen the maw of one of these things, just if don't do it at work, because you're seriously, your coworkers will think you're a mad person. But like, look it up. They're really horrifying. It's like a shower head if it was just full of teeth. You know, like, it's like, it looks like, honestly, if it wasn't a slimy worm monster, it looks like if it would make a really nice back scratcher, kind of. Gross. Yeah, they're really fucking, they're terrifying. I'm looking at one now. It's just creeping me out because it's just like, hey. Despite their uncanny resemblance to the Sarlacc from the Star Wars series, lamprey have been a delicacy in England for centuries. In the 12th century, King Henry I was so fond of them that, according to the chronicler Henry of Huntington, he died in 1135 in Normandy of a, quote, surfeit of lampreys, unquote. If you don't know what surfeit means, it just means excess. I had to look that up too. Don't worry about it. This unfortunate incident may have been why the citizens of the city of Gloucester opted not to send King John a lamprey pie in the year 1200. Yet the monarch was so angered that Gloucester, quote, didn't pay him sufficient respect in lampreys, unquote, that he fined them in revenge. That's fucked up. Folks like, where are my lampreys? You know, like, he's legit pissed off that he didn't get a giant lamprey pie. That's pretty wild. Can you, Matt, like, dude taxed them extra, like, because he didn't get his tribute of lamprey. Nuts. From then on, Gloucester supplied lamprey pies, of course they did, because they were getting beat up for not doing it, to the royal court for special occasions. By 1229, King Henry III was so insistent on getting his cut that he declared, quote, none shall buy or sell lamprey until John, not me, the king's cook at the time, shall have taken as much as needed for the king's use. Like, King Henry III looked like he was full of lamprey. Like, he looked like he was like a bunch of lamprey in a coat, acting like a king, the way he acted anyway. So maybe that's why he didn't have that many boys. Maybe lamprey only have girls when they're dressed up like a king. I don't know. It seems like the right thing. I'm pretty sure we should get this looked into, that King Henry III wasn't just, you know, a bunch of lamprey. I think in Henry VIII, probably. King Henry III is probably rotten too. They're all rotten. They're all lousy, full of lamprey. That's why they want them. Ooh, new conspiracy. All kings are made out of lamprey. All royal English royals, lamprey. That's why the queen did her hand like that. She couldn't open her fingers because it was a lamprey and a hand sock. Gotcha. In 1917, when England was embroiled in war, the monarch decided to scrap the tradition, only to revive it for the queen's coronation. In subsequent years, lamprey supplies dwindled and the pies fell out of favor again. Yet, as dams and the industrial pollution destroyed the lamprey spawning grounds in the UK, these resourceful vampires made their way from the Atlantic Ocean into the lakes and rivers of North America via man-made waterways. In Britain, they are protected, but across the pond, here in America, they're dangerous, invasive species that I'm sure people here eat as well, but I've never seen it. Quote, They are the killer bee bad cousin at the buffet that no one wanted, end quote, says Mark Gayden, communications director and legislative liaison for the Great Lakes Fishery Commission. Quote, they're really, really destructive, end quote. Sea lampreys are native to the North Atlantic, but until humans transplanted them, they had no place deep in the interior of North America. Starting in the late 1800s, lampreys wormed their way through the Erie Canal into the Finger Lakes. Gross. By 1835, they made their way to Lake Ontario, where they stayed for decades thanks to the natural barrier of Niagara Falls. In 1938, they began showing up in Lake Superior and around all the Great Lakes in droves. Quote, it's a bit of a perfect storm, Gayden says. They're not very picky eaters, and there are a lot of fish that they like. Trout, walleyes, sturgeon. It's an open buffet with nothing keeping them in check. Larger and more ravenous than their North American cousins, invasive lamprey quickly began decimating the local fish populations. A single female lamprey lays between 30,000 and 100,000 eggs at a time. Since soft silt at the bottom of the Great Lakes tributaries streams is ideal spawning grounds for the lamprey larva, their numbers can grow quickly. No shit. By the 1960s, sea lamprey were killing 100 million pounds of fish in the Great Lakes each year. 85% of the remaining catch still bore gashes and circular teeth marks. Quote, they leave gruesome bloody wounds that cause fish to die by infection, Gayden says. Thanks to decades of culling, conservationists have managed to somewhat keep lampreys in check. Quote, we often joke that if sea lampreys look like bunnies or puppies, we might not have society's blessings to keep them under control. But in this case, no one objects, end quote, says Gayden. Nevertheless, the Great Lakes Fishery Commission still has serious surfeit of lamprey. There's that word again, guys. Had to look it up. Just telling you. Don't feel bad about it. When Gayden first got the call from Gloucester in 2002, he was all too happy to slip them over. Quote, Mark Gayden is knee-deep in lamprey, so he FedExed them over to us, said Kirby. Remember the guy from the top? He advised the city of Gloucester to do the same for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Gayden's lamprey wound up in the masterpiece of architectural pastry shaped like Gloucester Cathedral. I'm going to post a picture of this thing to the Facebook page, and if I can, just some of the other places, probably on Instagram too. The pie itself is amazing. Like it's beautiful. Like it looks like a cathedral. It's made out of pastry. I have no idea how they did it, because it looks very delicate, and I would not want to be the dude, putting that in a van down by the river and taking it to the Jubilee. According to Kirby, the good people of Gloucester drew inspiration for their pie from medieval recipes. For security reasons, the Queen didn't actually partake of the pie, so the taste wasn't overly important. Quote, it's a symbolic thing now. It's not actually going to be eaten, end quote, Kirby says. When we made the one in 2012, our local area TV crews cooked some of the lamprey and mixed it with bacon and some mashed potato. They said it was all right. Since that first pie 20 years ago, Gayden has journeyed to visit Gloucester in person and befriended Kirby. I'm the purveyor of the lamprey to the Court Lee of the city of Gloucester, and I have a certificate to prove it, he says with a laugh. That's cool. As to whether or not his services and lampreys will be requested for the upcoming coronation banquet, he can't say whether, you know, for King Charles III. And I didn't get anything for that. I didn't see anything. King Charles, his sausage fingers look like lampreys. So that kind of is keeping on my my whole they're made out of fish people. They're made out of lamprey thing. Let's see here. Yep, he did get his own. Yeah, and he looked. Oh, there he is. Look at him. Look at the pie. Good. He did get his own pie. The coronation of King Charles and Camilla is queen consort, blah, blah, blah. And about 100 miles north. So Gloucester is 100 miles northwest of London. A representative of the king came down to Gloucester and looked at the pie and you know, gave it the okay. They didn't get taxed again, I guess. Yeah, this one looks kind of like it kind of was falling apart. Poor things. They didn't think he would like it, but it looks pretty. It's nice enough. I like the other one for the jubilation. I mean the diamond jubilee. So yeah, they got one to him. So all's right in the world. I'm sure that tradition keeps some sort of weird lamprey fucking horror from the sea that's, you know, like Lovecraftian from, you know, killing 80 villagers at something, or, you know, who knows. But there you go. There's that story. I found it adorable and terrifying. And I'm glad King Charles got his pie, even though he probably doesn't. They probably took a picture and just was like, hey, check this out. And he was like, so good for him. And there you go. That's it for this week. I will be back next week with hopefully Jenny. And we'll go over. No. Not next week. That's next week will be food news. So next week I will be back with some food news. I got an interview coming up. I don't know which one I'm going to put out first. Probably. Well, maybe the next week is going to be the interview. I don't have my calendar here, but I do have an interview next week that I might just put up before food news. So that would be fun. So for the Rude Cooking School podcast, I'm John Houser III. I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know. If you did enjoy it, tell your friends and family. We have, we go back and forth. We go story, we go food news, we go history lesson. And then I'll throw in the interview when I get to them or someone wants to be interviewed, which is the case in this one. And that's going to be a fun one. We're going to be talking about a drink that's near and dear to my heart, and we'll find out about it next week. But if you do like it, tell your friends and family about it, share it with people. Word of mouth is how we get around, and we really appreciate when you do it. If you're going to leave a review on whatever place that you get your podcast from, that helps a lot too. So until next week, I'm John Houser III. Don't yuck my yum, garbage everything, and see you guys next week. Peace. We'll be right back.